When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is September 16th, 2024. It's your WWE post-Raw show for Fightful. We got Denise Salcedo here. We won't be together next week. I'll be at Monday Night Football. What's the worst that could happen there? not much. Anyway, we're here right now, by God. I'm also headed to New York next week. So if you are near LaGuardia or Arthur Ashe, I'll be there. I'll say hi to you. We'll hang out. We'll wave at each other. We'll shake hands. We'll do cool stuff like that. Going to go watch Nigel McGuinness versus Bryan Danielson. But by God, we're here right now. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Please subscribe. Get those super chats and humper chats in. You can do that here at youtube.com/Fightful or humperchats.com. Real quick plugs. Interview with Paul White goes up this week. Interview with Tony Storm went up last week. We also had Xena from Scott Edwards that went up today. Bobby Stevenson, his first big interview after leaving WWE. We also had Heather Reckless's first interview since being signed to TNA. We have AEW media rights news, a lot of that to talk about. And quite a few things happened on WWE Raw. But Denise, how you feeling? How you doing?
I'm doing good, feeling good. I just had a cookie right before this show.
You did. I witnessed it.
Yeah, you witnessed me eating a cookie. It was great. It's my new gimmick now. Every time I finish my watch-alongs and I come here to the show, I have a little snack in between.
Okay, interesting. I don't know if I have any rituals like that. I don't know. Not sure if I've got necessarily anything nailed down like that. Maybe I need to develop one. Who the hell knows?
You used to have your beef jerky with you all the time.
Listen.
I was going to say, do you still?
Listen, bro.
I knew it.
If these bros want to sponsor me, they're from like 20 minutes from my house. Incredible stuff. But.
I knew it. You always have your beef jerky.
I do have my beef. I love beef jerky. Love beef jerky. Guys, check it out. FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. Best $54 a year in the business. We've started up a new feature called Select Answers, where I give you guys text-based answers for some of the Q&A things that we do every week. I got a Q&A podcast that drops with exclusive news every single week over there. We got a Discord, all that good stuff. But let's jump right into WWE Raw, at least until somebody asks us about this AEW deal. Ryan Sully sent a monster super chat and says, "Hey, SRS and Denise, didn't get home from work in time for Raw. From what I saw, it cooked. Happy 5-year anniversary with Fightful, Denise. Remember your first post show with those big pink headphones? How time flies. Post show party time." You had posted this today, Denise. 5 years since you started with Fightful. I think you're, outside of Jimmy, my longest running co-host as well. Like, me and Alex have done a show pretty well the entire time, but on one single show, like, it's right there, because he started on the post AEW show with me as well. So, man, you're breaking records, Denise.
I should get an award. Like, where's my award?
You got
like
one.
I deserve an award.
You get one every time I submit that invoice back to you.
No, that's... I want like a trophy or like a plaque or something.
You can be world's greatest dirt sheet boy if you want.
No, I want like longest running, most amazing co-host ever, fabulous, all of that.
I'm going to have to go full Gunther and be like, my answer is still no. That's how I'm feeling right now.
But for real, though, I blinked and 5 years fucking went by. I don't even know how.
Yeah,
I don't
5 years went by, and so did all of your decorum, just dropping F-bombs in the first 5 minutes. Who cares? Denise has all her subscribers. We don't need to worry.
You made me into a monster. And just so you know, I curse like a sailor, and even I curse 100 times more on my channel, and it's fine. Never once have I gotten YouTube coming at me being like, oh, anything happening.
Boris says, hey, Ibu says Punk is reffing on NXT. Confirm? Ibu would know. Ibu's got the hook up there. Meet Norma says, happy 5 years to our darling step host, Hollywood Hammer, Pillow Prince. What?
Didn't we update you already on that?
I don't want to know what you guys are doing on the watch alongs. I do not want.
Okay, I'm not doing this on the watch along. What kind of show do you think I'm running?
You're not doing anything at all. But like, listen, we're just going to leave that
one. Hey. You didn't finish reading that guy's super chat. Read Meet Normus's rest of his super chat.
You're great and getting better all the time. Well,
thank you. You didn't finish reading it. The man paid for it. You read it, because even if it puts me over.
Ah, man. CC Bonbon says, why are there so many Wednesday Addams types gimmicks in wrestling right now? It's like the three Wolverines at All In. Will WWE bring back bald Ricky? What Wednesday Addams gimmicks are there right now? I mean, like maybe like Tatum Paxley.
Tatum Paxley's the only one Wendy that I can Choo. Think about.
You could say like Wendy Choo, sort of, I guess, but
no, it's different.
It is different. Well, WWE bring back bald Ricky. He made a good impression. He got a lot of buzz. Ricky Gibson from Midnight Heat appeared on SmackDown. It's so funny because like they could have just put him on the rundowns, like Kevin Owens and Ricky. And I would have been like, what the hell's going on? And I would have thought, looking at the rundown, that they meant Ricky Starks or something like that. I would have been like, oh, my God, what's going to happen tonight? They would have had me on the phone calling people, Denise. But it said Randy Orton. Then when Ricky comes out, I'm like, what's going on here? Ricky got over in one night.
He did. He really, really did. I thought that he did really good. Honestly, he went out there. Everybody had the what the hell is going on face. Everybody had the same reaction. I mean, it was such a predictable thing that they tried to make unpredictable. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I appreciate the effort that was put there. So, and hey, man, good for him. He became an overnight sensation, you know, at least for you know, his work rate that he did for one night.
Not only that, I mean, he's a good wrestler, too. They're a good team from everything that I've seen. Vic says, got Mauro Ranallo vibes from Joe Tessitore tonight. Starting to get a feel for it. Happy 5 years, step host. Joe Tessitore got wild during that New Day match. Like, he was hot. Like, I loved what we saw out of Joe Tessitore. And, like, listen, I'm more of a Joe Tessitore guy from the Fight Night video games back in the day. And, like, I loved those. I played those for hours. Me and my friends just adored the Fight Night games. So he's a very, like, welcoming voice for me, a very familiar voice. So to hear that come through, and, I mean, Jimmy Smith was for me as well because I watched a lot of Bellator. For you, Denise, how's Joe Tessitore holding up?
So he's completely new to me, completely. Like, I've never heard him before or anything like that. And so I was away the first week that he came on, and I was told that there was so much drama on Twitter. I heard that some people were really hating him and some people were really loving him. And I thought, ooh, I can't wait to hear him. I mean, if there's so many people that hate him, like, what does he sound like, right? So I came in the second week, and I was expecting for there to be something so awful that would make me want to not like him either. And I gotta tell you, he hasn't done anything that has made me go, oh, he sucks, or oh, he's terrible. Not once. I'm like, he's perfectly fine. And I mean, he's what, 3-4 weeks into the job now? So to me, it's like, okay, give the guy a chance to like get accommodated, find his footing here on this commentary team. So honestly, I like what he's brought so far. He has not bothered me at all.
Guys, I want to thank all of you that are watching here on YouTube. For some reason, I mean, we've had insane numbers on Twitter, X, all that good stuff as well. Like 3,000 of you guys watch this show live as it happens on X. So thank you guys for that. If you want to get your questions in, our great moderator, Luis, will take them down over at humperchats.com. That's HUMPERchats.com. If you want to go see me rant about the Cincinnati Bengals, check out commonbengalsw.com.
Except me, because
Let's see. We're just going to remove Denise there. Yeah, I timed out Denise in my show last night. It was
fun. You want to know why? Because as of right now,
Anyway, Jonathan Corona says, Sean, question. Do you know why Raw doesn't have enough pyro for the opening? Feels like SmackDown has pyro, but Raw doesn't. Also, can we get Bronson versus Braun at Bad Blood in a street fight? So a few things to bring up there. SmackDown got a lot more pyro this past week because of the season premiere and all that stuff. However, Bad Blood, interesting thing to note here, Denise, the local advertisements and the poster have it listed at 6 p.m. Eastern as opposed to 7 p.m. Eastern. So funny enough, the way that we had reported it when we talked to WWE, they were like, well, you know, we're just going to leave our match cards as they were. And the reception to it online was not good. Like, people were like, no, we want more matches. And all of a sudden now they're talking about doing more matches. Hopefully it's a nice medium. I don't know if I need like a 4-hour show or anything like that, but yeah.
So are they just starting earlier, but still planning on having the same duration of time that they've been doing their last PLEs?
I mean, I hope I don't need a 4-hour show, but I wouldn't mind 6 matches or so.
Because I've really been liking what they've been doing the last couple of, shows where it's been super short and very, very fast, all of them.
Why is our dude Boris putting Ibu out here like this, saying the next 3 champs are Mox, Darbs, Hanger? Confirmed. I don't know. I don't know about that. I know that Darby was considered at one point, but I feel like Mox is going to take that title. But don't give an F day because he's sick and has diarrhea. I got to find out if this is true.
I don't know. I have no idea what's going on.
You have diarrhea.
Someone gets a message like that and it's not true, he's not going to know what you're talking about.
Listen, this isn't okay. Ibu is my friend. This is not okay. Not okay. But we had the CM Punk promo that kicked off this show. Somebody says, you're a pirate with a bad eye. Where's the eye patch? What am I missing?
I don't know what's happening.
I don't know. CM Punk.
Are we talking about Kairi Sane? She had a bad eye and she was a pirate.
She did. She did have a bad eye. Let's, you know what? We'll go ahead. We'll ask Luis to apply that to that match later on. So fantastic. Mr. Cox says, I've got tickets to Bad Blood and I can't wait. Do you think WWE will keep using the red cage for the cell match or bring back the classic metallic look? What are your top 3 cage colors across all promotions? Well, this is easy. First off, they need to get rid of the red cage. Never do the red cage again, Denise.
It comes off as like fake. I'm sorry, with the red cage. I think the silver makes it look more like mean and scary and violent.
Silver or black, because black kind of blends in. To me, there are no top 3. There's no top anything. The only one that I have any affection for is the old school blue steel bar cage.
Bro, get out of here.
It's the only thing I care about, Denise.
Get out of here. I was all trying to take you seriously. What are you talking about? I mean, no. I mean, obviously, they had some great matches there, of course, with that. But for me, it's just the silver. You just got to do the silver because it's more realistic. That's what I can imagine. If I was building a Hell in a Cell in my house, I would go out and get some fences and they'd be silver. That just screams more real to me.
I have reached out to good friend of the show, Ibu. Is it true you have diarrhea? He said, LMFAO, who told you this?
What?
I need a screenshot. And I said, confirm it. I'm trying to confirm it. Like, this man is asking for screenshots. I'm here asking the questions.
So this is how you get your scoop, Sean? You just message people like, hey, you got diarrhea?
I mean, you ask. You got to ask. Oh, man. You just got to go out there and ask the questions. Otherwise, you don't get the answers. But yeah.
Well, I feel like you got to paywall that once you get the information.
There you go. CM Punk promo, very stoic promo here. He talked about how his sisters, his wife, everybody he loves is saying, don't do this match. Don't do Hell in a Cell. All these reasons that he's not doing it. So he said, I'm going to give you the reason why I am doing it. This is, I think, first off, not a high bar as far as CM Punk promos go since his return to WWE. And it's been like, gosh, almost 9-10 months. There have not been many classic CM Punk promos. I wouldn't call this one a classic, but this is one of the best CM Punk promos that I have seen since he's made his way back. It's a lot less, oh, I'm so happy to be here, and I love all you guys, and oh, I'm just here to chill and have fun, right before he says, I'm not here to make friends. This is more of the CM Punk, not even from like 2011 that he got famous with. This is more of what I remember from like 05 before he came to WWE. I thought this was really good stuff.
I mean, he looked terrifying. Someone on my watch along had mentioned that he busted the Paul Heyman, where remember when Paul Heyman looked like so stressed out and his face was gray and his eyes looked all bloodied up and he looked awful. That's sort of how CM Punk looked this Monday, because he got super up close to the camera and he was mad and he was angry and he was pissed and he looked like he hadn't slept in years. And so when you have a man like that going and staring straight into the camera and saying, like, you're looking at him and he looks the way he does, and then he's saying the things that he's saying, all of these awful things that he's going to do to Drew McIntyre and make him bleed, and he's going to have to kill him in there, and all of the things that he said. Well, how do you not buy something like that? So I thought that the way CM Punk delivered it looked really, it looked intense, man. I bought it.
His voice was very gravelly as well.
Yeah.
Very gravelly. Drew was very happy about this. Also, he said that he wanted this CM Punk. Is the guy that he's been after this whole time. He said this from the comfort of his own home. Jonathan Corona says, relax. People have gas and diarrhea. Relax, Denise. Abu did say, on record, I had extreme stomach pains due to potential food poisoning, causing Wrestle Purists Worldwide to run a bit late. I did not, however, have diarrhea. So glad we could clear that up. Get well soon. Jonathan Corona says, the Lee Fitting production stuff, great touch. Nice entrance for Punk from the parking lot to the stadium. Bro pulled up, left the key in with the door open.
That's the same thing I brought up about Jack Perry. He did the same thing like last week, I think it was. And then CM Punk did the same thing. It's a thing now. It's not cool to close your door or turn off your car. Jack Perry's,
I at least believe, gets started with a screwdriver anyway. Like,
I mean, he left it running. People just leave their cars running. It's just a thing.
That's a fair point. That's a good point.
I mean, I don't know why. I would never do that. Shit. I freaking double check my car. I lock it. I double check that I lock it. I triple lock it. I do everything.
That's a fair point. Jonathan Corona sent a monster super chat. Big thank you to him. Says, hey, Sean and Denise, since WDB is not renewing the Def Rebel contract, I just want to say this. I have not verified that in any capacity. We have been working on a Def Rebel story for a number of months, gathering information on that. It is not as clear cut as a lot of people make it out to be. It's a third party deal that is also an in-house deal. But he says, which artist do you want to hear on a superstar entrance theme? And which song would you use for a superstar like Roman or anyone in this current roster?
I mean, of course, I would love to hear all of my favorites, but then again, I don't know if my favorites necessarily match the aesthetic of pro wrestling, but hey, I mean, of course, I would love to hear anything Taylor Swift, but we all know. I mean, I don't know who would come out to Teardrops on My Guitar. I don't know who would come out with that theme song, but she does have some songs where they could be theme songs, by the way.
I would pump the brakes on all of the licensed music expectations. I wouldn't doubt that they'll use those for pay-per-views, PLEs, TV shows. However, when you get into talking about using them for individual superstars, there's a reason why there's a lot of the music that is covered up on the network or Peacock, and that's because they have to go back and pay those people. And they don't want to go back and pay those people. That is an expense that they don't want to cut into. However, if I had to pick, I mean, the Journey Separate Ways is an easy one. I can't remember who it was that used that. Was it Jensen or whatever that used that? But it's got to be something more modern in a lot of ways. Like, I was shocked that there were so many people that were mad about the Megan Thee Stallion thing. I was like, guys, like, I love Saliva, but in 2024, we're not going to have some Saliva knockoff band doing the SmackDown theme. It's Megan Thee Stallion and a dude from BTS. Like, that.
So why were they mad?
You know why they were mad. You know why they were really mad. White people get mad about everything, Denise. Even SmackDown's entrance theme. Or I'll say this. They pretend to get mad over everything. I'm like, y'all are really going to pretend to get mad over a song you're going to hear for 20 seconds? If time permitting on a Friday? Come on.
Bro, I'm sorry, but in my brain, SmackDown's theme song is still, are you ready? Are you ready for a good
That let me tell you why I hated that
all the time. I didn't like it. I hated it.
Well, I hate sorry. It too. Every song is the same. And then every time WWE sends me a clip, I had to hear, are you ready?
That's why.
I'm not ready. I hate it. And when they send us clips and said, you can post this on your YouTube channel, we get copyright claimed by friggin' AC/DC.
Yeah, I was going to say, you also get copyright claimed by WWE too, because they have like a third party person that copyrights people. They sent me a copyright on Twitter, but get this, guess what they wrote? They wrote that I was trying to impersonate WWE. And I'm like, what? I'm impersonating them?
Oh boy.
That's literally what they did. But I checked in the bottom and it's somebody else doing it on behalf of WWE. Like I guess they hired someone, who knows?
I think that more thematic things that fit a show are what we should see. Like, songs that almost everybody knows go a really long way.
Nah, man, you know what I miss? The beautiful people. The beautiful people.
That was good stuff.
Oh, my. That used to get... See, but I get what they mean by not having a song that gets your blood going. Like, for me,
yeah.
Of course, it's going to be more of, like, the rock theme songs because those have a little bit more energy and you're going to feel like, oh, shit, I got to get up and watch this show. Yeah. And that's usually been the style that we see for WWE for so many years. And a lot of us who grew up as, like, you know, were fans from a long time ago, that's more of what we associate WWE with than more of like, you know, like more of these newer popular styles. So I do get it. I also prefer more of the rock vibe, but I'm not going to go throw myself, you know, go crazy because of some song, but it's catchy though. 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know the rest of the words.
T-Sipper says Punk left the door open and the keys in. I want to be that kind of confident. Well, fortunately for you, we've got something that can help. Blue Chew and the code Fightful will get you confident. And let me tell you, your key will fit in that ignition once you use Blue Chew and the code Fightful. It's got the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but it comes in a chewable form, so it's ready whenever you are. Maybe you're in a hurry. You're pulling up before you pull out. And you got to run to the stage for your performance. Well, Blue Chew is going to make sure that you're there. And the best part is you take their online quiz, their online consultation, and if approved, it ships straight to your door. They're going to be listen, if your door's open, maybe they'll just throw it back there. Listen, I don't know what else you're putting in the back door, but if it's wide open, Blue Chew will help you take care of that as well. Blue Chew and the code Fightful. It's not just for people that don't have a confidence issue or something like that. It's just that, I mean, main event performance. That's what you want. You want to perform at that high level. You're not, I'll tell you one thing. Your wife is not going to be telling you, no, don't do it. She's not going to be advising you not to do it. You're going to be saying, I'm going to tell you all the reasons that I did do it. Because first off, it shipped straight to your door. It's virtually anonymous. Your doctor, your pharmacist, the lady at the pharmacy is not going to be like, oh, guess what he ordered?
guess what he ordered? He showed up in his car. He didn't even close the door. And he came in and he got blue chew.
She ain't going to know because it delivers straight to your door. And you get your first shipment free when you use the code Fightful. I'm just saying. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Backdoor action, somebody said. SMH. Beautiful People won't be back with Maryland's accusations. WWE already have issues there. Yeah, I mean, that those songs are left in the past. Like, they might run it back or something as, like, a throwback or something, but that's really it.
But I did love that song, man.
D-Burn says...
Fascination was also really great, too.
Yeah. I you know, by the time that one was done, I was ready to move on. But really? Now I miss it.
I love it. Which one's the one by Papa Roach?
Wanna Be Loved. That one
I love
as well.
That one too. I love that one too.
Jonathan Hedman says, just give me the first theme. I missed the Thorn in Your Eye song. That was a good one.
How did that one go again?
Thorn in Your Eye. How did it go? Even people who knew the lyrics didn't know the lyrics. Like there was
I don't remember it.
I encourage you to go back and look at that. And anybody that pretends they know the lyrics, they don't. Denise, you a Blue Chew fan. Boris, what are we doing here? Yeah, I mean, she is. She's got a code Denise as well. D. Burns says, underrated production change. Joe and Wade taking a moment to feature signs in the crowd. More of that, please. Well, we're getting more of Pete Dunne and Sheamus, it looks like. I think they are definitely headed towards a hardcore match. They are definitely leaning into trying to make them chant Butch at Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne ends up getting the win with a cricket bat, Denise.
Bro, smashed it in Sheamus's face, man. Like, whoop, rat. That was nasty. I got to tell you, it looked brutal.
I loved it. Like, they are going to beat the snot out of each other in a hardcore match. And that's what you need. It is time for Sheamus to put over a guy like Pete Dunne. That was the basis of starting the Brawling Brutes to begin with, was to bring Pete Dunne, then Butch, up, and they gave him that dumbass name. And now Butch can perform on his own now that the Tyler Bate is gone. And I think that Pete Dunne needs to, like, solidly be put over. Like, Pete Dunne really needs to run away with this feud, I think.
Right. That's why I was actually glad with the way that things turned out today between Sheamus and Pete Dunne. I thought Pete Dunne definitely needed that. And him just like going in there, and I know he cheated obviously to win, but I feel like that was fine with me. Like, I usually don't like that stuff, but I'm like, hey, it's working for Pete Dunne. It's fine with me. I hate that we still have to be reminded of the name Butch, of course. I wish that wasn't something that we were constantly reminded about, but I kind of, but in the same way though, if you know it's going to piss him off, why wouldn't you bring it up? So in a way, even though I'm sick and tired of hearing of the Butch name, it does make sense for Sheamus to go out and call him Butch every now and then and throw that in his face. But no, Pete Dunne has always been doing a great job. He's been solid. He's done everything he was supposed to do. And I feel like he needs to be rewarded for that. And I think his reward is coming because he's an incredible wrestler. He's got a unique look. He always just looks mad all the time. So I guess that makes him sort of unique in a way. But no, I think that there's a lot of interest there in Pete Dunne, and I wanted to continue seeing him grow on this show.
Yeah, as do I. We had the Natalya versus Zoe Stark match after Zoe Stark. Well, first off, Natalya won this match. Solid match, but Natalya came back to almost like no fanfare last week. It was kind of sad to just not hear much of a reaction in Calgary until that sharpshooter. But tonight, the crowd was there with Natalya, which made me happy. Natalya gets the win. She's back in the fold after re-signing with WWE. This is good. You need some of these underneath things. I think WWE often falls into the trap of 50-50ing a lot of women and making you be like, well, who really cares? I think that Natalya here, if you're going to bring her back, you're signing her to this multi-year deal for big money, Fightful Select was told. Go ahead and do it and put her in some regard in this division. We know she can do it in the ring. We've seen it in NXT.
So tonight I thought was a really good night for women's wrestling. I mean, we're going to be talking a whole lot about another match that occurred today on the show that I think stole the show. But when I saw that it was going to be Natalia versus Zoe, the first thing I said was give them time and they're going to deliver. And I personally thought that this was the best we've seen from Zoe in a while because, you know, she's always really great in the ring. So I can't even say a long while, but a little brief of a period. And Natalia on the main roster, like a lot of people, the match that they bring up in recent times was her match against Rhea Ripley. What feels like forever ago now in Raw, everybody kept bringing that match up because that was really great. And then on top of that, people have been bringing up her NXT time that she spent down there. So I feel like now this match here, I thought they did really good. Like I personally want them to wrestle each other a lot more. And I'm going to say that same thing later on about another match that we saw today. But I really do want to see Zoe and Natalia do a little bit more. If we saw them do like what Carmelo and Andrade are doing, I really think like that could be the thing that one gets people interested in the Pure Fusion Collective, Collection, whatever they're called, because I keep forgetting what they're called every single
day. Pure Fusion time. Collective.
Collective. I can never forget. I always forget what the C word is. So anyways, the point is that I feel bad though, because a lot of people have sort of turned the other direction with the PFC because of the name. It's sort of given people like I don't want to cheer for you because I don't like your name, which is very unfortunate, right? Because the talent is there and the talent is good. So I do think if we were to see those girls in series of matches with different people, whether it be singles matches or trios, that it will be the thing to get them a little bit more, a little bit more liked by the people. So anyways, all that to say, Zoe Stark versus Natalia, I thought was pretty damn good. And I want to see them continue to wrestle more. If they had this much chemistry in one match, imagine what they can have with a little bit more.
Reminder, guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We got some AEW TV deal news as well if we get super chats in about that. But we had a Wyatt 6 vignette, which led to a QR code, which led to a website, which very much resembled that of the Heaven's Gate website from like the 1990s, like a GeoCities website, which was a mass suicide cult, quite frankly. But there were a lot of images and different pages. I have posted a thread of all of them on Twitter. Like there's a whole bunch of images and graphics and all that stuff. It's like little things like I found my journal. I took pictures of the entries. He told me to remember who you are. I saw him, and the more I tried to chase him, the more he told me he didn't exist. I'm going to find you, and you will tell me all of your secrets. When I saw him, time and I can't even read it. Some of it's not legible, but there's a whole lot of little things there. There were, I think I ended up doing nearly 50 screenshots of this website and all the images there. And then there are Bo Dallas images, Uncle Howdy images, Nikki Cross images. One of the letters says, "Patience is the road to wisdom. Have you lost your trust in me? Are you calling me a liar? Your arrogance, you know nothing."
Why does this sound like an ex-girlfriend? Like, if I didn't know anything about this, just hearing you read these words, it sounds like a bitter ex-girlfriend writing all of these terrible things on a diary of some sort. I don't get any of it, but okay, I'm here for it. But yeah, if I didn't know the context to this, that's what I would think.
I'll tell you what I like. They very clearly give a shit. That's what I care about. They very clearly care about this. And that demented son of a bitch, Rob Fee, has me screenshotting 50 things during Raw. But you know what? This is the type of stuff that that audience really likes, and you have to play to that audience. I have not had the time to necessarily put it together. I mean, the Heaven's Gate parallels of the website are definitely there. There's some real similarities there. But I don't know what to make of, you know, what we see as of yet. One of the notes also says, "I am the one who hears the words of the red. I see the vision. We move when I say, not you."
I just wait for other people to figure it out and see what they say. That's what I'm doing here. I'm not too into like the riddle stuff.
Luis, please get that Humper Chat. Thank you. We had a Sami Zayn promo. This is after Ludwig Kaiser approaches Adam Pearce and says, do you have a worthy opponent for Gunther? Now, from Gunther's perspective, I get it, because this is what I've been saying the whole time. Sami hasn't been winning matches. It's the absence of activity. I don't like it anywhere. Don't like it in AEW. Don't like it in UFC. Yes, he beat Gunther, but I want to see him win matches. Well, he's going to have that opportunity because Gunther comes out and says, no, I'm not giving you this title match. It's not happening. You don't deserve it. And they ended up beating down Sami a little bit. This is after Ludwig sort of called out Sami for you know, losing his best friend along the way a couple times. But Sami fought back, and now we're going to get Sami versus Ludwig next week. How'd you feel about this promo? I know I skimmed over it a little bit, but we started backstage with Ludwig Kaiser and Adam Pearce.
No, I thought what they did here was kind of good because I fell for it for a second. Because it's funny because when Sami was out there talking, to be honest, it wasn't really anything new. They tend to do the same things over and over with Sami. They always make him look like he can't defeat this person. That's been sort of Sami's story very, very often. So it wasn't until Ludwig got out there where I thought, okay, like, let's see where this is going. And it's funny because the second Ludwig came out, I thought, man, I can't wait till we see him versus Gunther. Like, that's really going to be very enjoyable to watch. Like, I'm anticipating that, right? And it was almost like I sensed that they were going to do something there, because when Sami started telling him, why are you speaking on behalf of Gunther? I thought, oh, well, he's making some really good points here too. When Gunther came out, I popped because I wasn't expecting him to come out that, you know, tonight. If Ludwig was coming out, then why would Gunther come out afterwards, right? So I was a little bit thrown off with by that. But now it all makes sense, right? Because they sort of made it seem like Gunther was going to be mad at Ludwig Kaiser. And I fell for it. They successfully made me fall for it, which now I feel like a goof for falling for it. But Sami falls for it, of course, for like a split second. And it ends up being a plan all along. And they take out Sami Zayn.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And I thought that was great, man, because I love what we've been seeing the last couple of months with Gunther. I mean, he was so savage in that feud with Damian Priest. And then, of course, we talked about the line of like the year last week with him and Brett and Goldberg and all of that whole thing that happened. And now he comes out here this week and he's three steps ahead of Sami Zayn and making up plans with Ludwig Kaiser. I loved that. I loved it because it really starting to show so much more personality for Gunther, because for a long time now, all that I feel that we'd known from Gunther was He was mean, he was scary, and he'd kick your ass and chop you to death, right? But now we're starting to see, like, he's cutthroat. Like, he's funny, but he's also kind of a jerk, right? Like, that's what they're doing. And I love that. I love that we're seeing more of a personality from Gunther coming out of all of this. So I was a big fan of what they did here today because I wasn't too crazy about Sammy's portion of it, because it was just been there, done that before. But everything that followed once Ludwig came out there, I thought that was great.
I'll tell you what I'm happy about. Sammy is going to get a damn win before getting a title shot. That's all I've asked for. Make them earn it. Whatever company it is, I have felt like they have diminished championships. I'm talking UFC, AEW, and WWE. I'm about to watch a world heavyweight title match where one of the guys lost his last fight, and the last time he won was before Roman Reigns won the world title. Like, it's frustrating to watch that, especially when you script it. Well, they have scripted some fun with Braun Strowman and Bronson Reed. The FightfulSelect.com scoops thread said that this one was only going one segment and there would be more mayhem. There was. They immediately broke the top rope, which was a planned spot. They go to the outside of the ring. Bronson Reed throws a man at Braun Strowman. They crash through the barricade. And then backstage, they go through drywall. This is everything that I want of it. We had a little promos with them before as well, where Braun's talking to Miz, where Bronson is talking about why he's still not finished with Braun, because Braun got his opportunity when he was sick. He's tired of being overlooked, and now he knows that he's got to do all this stuff to make sure he's not. This is another situation where Bronson, the heel, has some points, Denise. Man got the sniffles, got COVID one week. All of a sudden, he's out of the title picture. He's got a reason to be upset. I loved how this all went down.
Yeah, this was cool. I think we knew we weren't going to get an actual match the second we saw the top rope just go awry. Like, that was done. Like, we knew that wasn't going to happen. But I got really excited. So the part where he tossed a guy, I really wish that they would have done a better camera angle for that, because at first I thought it was just somebody who decided to, like, jump in. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, what's happening here? Like, I didn't even realize that he had thrown him until commentary actually said it. And then they did a replay. So I kind of thought that they should have shot that a lot better. But the barricade spot was cool, but it didn't get to me. It was not cool until we got, it wasn't as cool rather until we got backstage. Like, once we got backstage, that's where I was like, all right, this is what I live for. These are the kind of things that I like, because these are usually the things that I remember the most, or like the chaos stuff that happened in the back. And when he did the tsunami splash on him onto the table, I thought, all right, that's cool. But this isn't jumping off of a freaking brick wall and landing on a man with a car cool. So even though this was cool, it wasn't anywhere near what they did with the car spot when he did the tsunami splash on Braun Strowman from that. That was way cool. So I feel like they almost, I feel like they should be topping each other, but they really didn't. And wow. Sean, you know what I mean? Topping the segment, okay? Not topping each other. Hey, Monday Night Raw, hey, PG, non-PG era Netflix, hey. Hey, there's some stuff on Netflix, all right? This isn't too far-fetched. But
I loved this segment. I loved it. For as long as we've done a show together, I've been asking them to do, right, like Peter Griffin versus the Chicken. Damn, everybody, hey, look at that.
I'm just saying.
We're talking about some.
You should be tuning in, all right? And it's okay.
We're talking about some top sirloin is what we're talking about right now. My God, guys. You couldn't have done that. Couldn't have said that before my Blue Chew read. My God.
Dude, I just wanted to say that I was more impressed by the previous segment that they did. This one was cool, but I still thought the other one was cooler, okay? That's all I wanted to say. I'll change my words next time.
Jared says the Bronson, the guy Bronson yeeted wore a yeet shirt. That is a great touch.
Yeah, I did see that. That was a good touch, yeah.
Mr. Acosta says first 9 non-match to get a 5-star rating. Man, see, I don't have This is where I wish we still had Will Washington on the team. He has such a catalog of information in his brain. He would be able to name some other like matches that didn't happen that ended up being really great. I just, man, this is that's definitely a great one. Like when I think of 10 out of 10 segments, Braun throwing Roman Reigns off the loading dock was definitely one of them. That was a good one. We had an American made vignette. I like this. I like one that we are in a situation where WWE, when they're doing budget cuts, they're like, you know, maybe we could save some money by just like not bringing American Made and Drew McIntyre to TV. We can save literally thousands of dollars by not bringing them to TV one week, and we can have them fill in their segments by doing vignettes or stuff like that. I wish we would see more of that, but these vignettes to sort of bridge the gap, I think, make a lot of sense, Denise.
Yeah, so I missed this vignette for whatever reason. I think I was talking and then I turned and it was over because it was relatively short. I'm sorry. I only paid attention to the whole show and I missed one little segment. And but anyways, from what I saw, it looks cool, but I didn't get to see too much from it though. But I think that's one of the things you mentioned earlier that we had been asking for more behind the scenes, like backstage action. But one of the other things that we've also been asking for is more memorable vignettes, more memorable little skits, because that's something that they used to do really well. And we have gotten away from that. And I want to return to that. So, hey, shout out to American Made.
So FightfulSelect.com had reported that Bianca Belair would be taking on Io Sky tonight. However, they had originally announced Kairi Sane. A very livid Io approached Bianca and said, she's like, how dare you? Kairi's eye is hurt. And she basically challenged, well, without challenging Bianca, said, I want to fight you, not her. Steph, the writer, says, give us Bianca and Io in a best of seven. That was a lot of fun. Rafael Garcia says, you're a pirate with a bad eye. Where's the eye patch? I was still surprised that Bianca takes a loss here. Like, and Io is more than worthy of it. She has, you know, she's great. You need stuff like this. They sold it as important as it was. And this was a really fun match too. Like, it feels like it's been a while since we've got to see Bianca shine in a singles capacity here, doing like the suplex on the stairs thing and doing the backflip. And I'm like, oh yeah, she's really, really good. She's the woman that I was calling Mrs. WrestleMania after she had two of the best WrestleMania matches that I've ever seen. And then she goes out here and kills it with Io. And Denise, I thought they sold it perfectly how important it is to beat somebody like Bianca Belair. I loved what they did here.
This was match of the night and nothing else came close to this. This was so freaking good. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, the second that they announced this match, I was like, oh, this is about to be a really great freaking match. And then they went out there and they did everything that I had hoped they would do and way more than that. That freaking dive that Io did to Bianca on the outside, that was crazy. It looked so nasty because she kind of like did like a turn and it was like her whole body weight just went and smashed Bianca. I thought that was kind of crazy when Bianca was walking up with her in the steel steps and she just freaking launches her body to the other side. They got aggressive and they got so mean during this, but they were doing stuff that they could only do with each other because they're such good wrestlers. And so, man, I don't even know what to say other than this was a really cool match, like a really, really good match. If you didn't watch Raw today, go out of your way to watch this because it was very, very entertaining. And it's been a while, like you said, since we've seen Bianca shine in that single slight because now she's in the tag team with Jade Cargill. I mean, of course, it's not forgotten what Bianca can do, but I just think that they need to run this back, by the way, a few more times because there's no way that there's no way that we cannot go on without seeing this match again. And so I hope that they given what they saw, the powers that be backstage, continue this because this was money.
When I saw, and we put together the scoops thread on Fightful Select, I saw this match on the slate and I saw two segments. I was like, this is going to be fun. This is going to be really good. And Jade and Bianca are such a welcoming presence, especially on these 3-hour Raws, especially when there's no Wyatt Six outside of the vignette, especially when there's no Drew McIntyre on this show. And you've got Rhea and Liv taking a little bit more of a back seat. You don't have Becky Lynch there anymore. So adding the star power of Bianca and Jade really helps. Now, I don't know how things are going to look in like 3 weeks when we're talking about 2-hour shows, but man, they're a welcome presence there. Jared says, I want women's tag team to thrive, but Bianca and Io need to be in singles. They randomly put on a women's match of the year candidate. Maybe make women's tag NXT exclusive. I wouldn't say match of the year candidate. I feel like if they would have gotten 20 minutes, they could have for sure. The potential is there, but on Raw, it's hard to do that with a commercial. But I don't mind them in tag teams right now. They both had extended runs at the top of the card as champions. So I'm fine with them being in the tag division. How are you feeling?
For Raw, because he was mentioning match of the year. Of course, it's not match of the year in all of general, but I think for Raw,
yeah,
that was up there with one of the best matches, especially for the women.
Yeah, for the women.
I'm sure. Trying to think if I remember another women's match that happened this year that I was really blown away by. It might have even been Lyra versus Io, because they had some good matches too.
They did.
But I feel like this one's, I know I'm probably going to regret it. I'm going to think of one later on. But no, this one's definitely up there, at least for the women on Raw for sure.
Ryan Ben says, hi, SRS and Denise. Better Raw than last week. Match of the night was Bianca Io. Credit for the promo work tonight. And kudos to the callback at the end. Liv forcing Rhea to watch Finn destroy Damian like she did to Edge so long ago. Meat versus meat forever. Yeah, I mean, like we're going to get to the Rhea, Finn, Damian stuff because there were a lot of interactions there. But I thought that they killed it. Thought that they did great. We've got a Jey Uso and Braun Breaker promo. So this will be known for that one line. And it will be Jey Uso saying, you know what, maybe I'll make short work of you just like your NFL career.
That was really good. He needed that. He needed that because I thought Braun Breaker kind of had his ticket with his promo that he did. And then I thought like, ooh, when Jey started his promo, I didn't really like what he was saying in the beginning because it didn't really make too much sense. But then afterwards, when he got him with that one line, that was all anybody was going to remember.
I mean, guys, to show you how recently Braun Breaker was, you know, close to being in the NFL, when the bloodline angle started, he was on the Baltimore Ravens roster as a fullback. Like, and a fullback is a guy that you put on the goal line to get through all the offensive linemen and pick up that additional yard. Well, they had a great swerve here because Braun Breaker uses the spear. However, Jey Uso turned it around and got that spear. This is going to play into things later, and we'll talk more about that then. But Jonathan Corona says, can't wait to see Raw again in Ontario next week. Can't wait to see Braun versus Jey. Yeah, this is happening next week on WWE Raw, IC title match, and that's a hell of a match. Two guys that are super over. Braun Breaker, super over. I'm getting a lot of, I mean, obviously not as over as Goldberg was, but I'm getting a lot of good Goldberg vibes there out of this. We also have Vin saying, when you get to the segments, look, Braun and Jey, Io and Bianca, Braun and Reed, it shows you can have a 5-match PLE and still get moments on TV. That is a good point because you need to have matches like what we're seeing next week on TV, Denise. I think it's very important to have stuff like Jey Uso and Braun Breaker to help anchor your shows.
Yeah, because I was tired of seeing the Judgment Day for such a long time. And do you remember before like WrestleMania? All we were getting were just like a bunch of Judgment Day tag team matches. Oh, I was done with that. I kind of was done with it.
Also, Vin says, did WWE steal Megan Thee Stallion from Mercedes, or is that just tribalism? So there was a report from PW Insider today that said that a few years ago, there had been talks about Megan Thee Stallion doing something with Mercedes, and WWE swooped in and picked her up for this song. And here's where I stand on that. Mercedes has a newsletter. She will almost surely address this on her own. Mercedes' cousin is Snoop Dogg. When she was in WWE, like they didn't have a monopoly on accessing Snoop Dogg. He appeared on AEW. Now she is in AEW, and what does Snoop Dogg do? He's running around with a replica WWE title, taking it to celebrities and stuff. He appeared on WrestleMania and all that stuff after she left. Like, I don't buy that. I don't buy that Megan Thee Stallion and Mercedes would have some falling out over this. It's business. Mercedes is making her money. Megan Thee Stallion is an enormous star who's getting paid a lot of money for her song to be on the air. It just didn't make any sense to me. Did you even see that, Denise?
I did see that. And I think it's one of those things where it's like a timing thing. Cause from what I saw, it had said that, I guess they met at a anime expo and they had conversations. And so then their people talked to their people and they worked whatever they did. But I think it's one of those things where it might just be a situation of maybe nothing was circled back upon. Maybe the timing, you know how it is when you start talking with somebody and then maybe you don't follow up. And then all of a sudden someone comes at you and they're a little bit more proactive. And you tend to go with the side that's a lot more proactive in terms of moving things along. So, and I also think like we don't know exactly what was being talked about with Mercedes and Megan. It could have been, you know, I don't know. It kind of seemed like a little bit of everything from what I had read. And this is a little bit more straightforward. Hey, we want your song as the theme. And I think that's kind of something that I would imagine they would jump at a lot faster than, hey, what can we do? What can we work on?
I see somebody saying Megan feels bigger than AEW. What are we doing here, man? Like, they had Giannis. They had the NBA MVP on their show. Like, it's, come on. The right situation will bring up anything like that. So, I just wasn't buying it. Jonathan Corona says, Sean, what did you think of UFC at the Sphere? It was beautiful. It looked amazing. Says it was good. Do you think we'll see WWE or AEW at the Sphere? I cover this a lot on Fightful Select. AEW has inquired, or at least felt them out. I don't know about WWE, but it would make sense for WWE to do a major show. And if they did a show there, the ticket prices would be so insane that I'd be trying to sneak people in with my press pass. I'd be trading kidneys and stuff for my press pass. It would be insane. Insane, Denise.
But yeah, I mean, the Sphere looks very cool. Very, very
eventually
cool.
They will do a show. I think eventually both end up doing a show there.
What do you think WWE would put as their little image on the outside? Because the logo is like not really anything that would look too cool on that kind of Sphere. You have to think of something really cool.
I think they would probably have Steve Austin's big bald ass head.
That would cool. I would pee past by like, yo, is that Steve Austin's bald head? I'm here for that.
Guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. Fid McAwesome says New Day issues make all the sense. Logic from both points of view, good storytelling. Thank you to Fid McAwesome, who did that Tony Storm and Paul White interview that we had dropped last week and this week for Down Under the Ring here on Fightful. But we saw backstage New Day. Kofi Kingston saying, we don't want you involved, or Xavier especially did not want anybody involved in this tag title match, no matter what. He knew the risks, and they went out and they had a fun match, and Joe Tessitore got all torn up over the interference. I love it. Like, he got full on Jim Ross, really sold it. But LWO comes out and helps. And even then, Xavier and Kofi end up losing. We'll talk about what happened after the match, but first off, long overdue title defense. Can't be like this 2 months, 2+ months. But the match itself, I'm not one for screwy finishes, but man, this screwy finish helped an awful lot. It added a whole lot to the story.
Oh yeah, because you see Xavier Woods basically had his match won. The referee was distracted by Kofi having taken out LWO on the outside. So, of course, Xavier Woods is going to be pissed. And so I did like how that sort of all turned itself out. And I honestly didn't hate this match because they got right to the point right away. They didn't give us a whole 20 minutes of a boring match just for it to end that way. I liked that they got right to it. So I loved the way that they did this. And, of course, you know, the events that unfolded afterwards, I think, and part of me is kind of like Xavier Woods does kind of have a couple of good points. I mean, he's angry.
Yeah.
He's not being totally, you know, calm, cool, and collected, but he is making some points.
Oh, man. The promo work that Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston did after this was so good. Kofi was like, listen, man, they were involved because I knew how things would happen. I knew that Judgment Day would get involved, so I asked LWO for some help. And Xavier Woods goes, we never needed any help before because we had Big E, and now we don't have Big E. And Mr. Acosta says, do you think they were mentioning him on purpose? Even if it wasn't, it's like you can't ignore the elephant in the room. Like, he's not there. He's been gone for 2.5 years at this point, and we don't know if he's coming back, but Xavier Woods is taking it personally after all those things that Karrion Kross said. Karrion Kross is that little devil on his shoulder the whole time saying he doubts you. He doesn't believe in you. He doesn't think that you're good enough to get it done on your own. And Xavier had a really good point. He was like, why does the LWO know our tag team title match strategy and I don't? Whew. Man, this was really, really good and emotional.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he made some points with that. And then also when Kofi basically said, oh, it's just us two now. And he sort of felt like a little bit insulted. Like, oh, what do you mean it's just us now because we don't have Big E? And I thought that was really good because in a way, it feels a little bit more realistic, right? Because in a fight, whenever someone's fighting with anybody, you're probably going to be half right, half wrong. It happens. And in this case, that's what we saw. Like, we saw that Xavier Woods was making some points. Kofi Kingston seemed misunderstood. So you can see these communication issues between the both of them. And so it hit nicely because obviously they are a very popular, loved team amongst, the fans. So you don't want to necessarily just see them break up just like that. So the fact that they're going with that little extra deep layer of like, hey, Big E isn't with us anymore, it just adds to it a whole lot more. So this was good. I like this.
We saw some back and forth. Judgment Day, New Day was involved. Finn Balor was involved. Rhea Ripley, Damian Priest. And it was a bit of interaction between Judgment Day and the former Judgment Day. Also, why are Judgment Day wearing the street trash shirts when Gunther called Damian Priest street trash? I don't know if I get that, but hey, Finn Balor reveals to Rhea that he was the one pushing Dominic to leave Rhea the whole time.
I don't believe that. That was so dumb. That's almost like when someone, TV show brings in an extra character just to justify some story they're trying to tell. No one is believing that. I'm sorry. Like, Dominic made that decision on his own accord. I didn't even believe Finn Balor believed it when he was saying that. I didn't buy this.
And you also had Liv stirring stuff up with Damian. We get to the match. Dominic plays his role perfectly. He's just very good at his role. Damian gets the win. Rhea goes over the table tackling him. But Judgment Day do to Damian and Rhea what Damian and Rhea had done to people for a long time. Whipped that ass, made their bestie watch it happen. I thought the match was solid. It did what it was supposed to do, but this clearly isn't over. Jey Uso had got involved, but Bron Breakker took him out. So that got neutralized. Where does Judgment Day go for help, and how do you feel about this main event segment?
I actually thought this was very fun, which is funny because like 20 minutes ago, I was saying I'm tired of seeing the Judgment Day all the time. But no, this actually worked out very cool because I liked the way that everyone kind of just went in all these different directions on the outside. Like you see, was it Rhea who speared Liv or was it Liv who was speared Rhea? It was Rhea who speared Liv, right? Onto the commentary table where they both landed on Wade. Yeah, I thought that was kind of explosive and fun. And then all of just the shenanigans that were unfolding on the outside, it kind of made it very entertaining because then you go back into the ring, you see Damian Priest and Dominic Mysterio. And I was under the impression of like, there's no way the Judgment Day is going to let Damian Priest win at all. Like, this is going to end in some stupid, silly thing. But no, Damian Priest went in there. He handled his business. He took care of Dominic Mysterio, finished him, got the victory. And right away, he then gets attacked by the Judgment Day. I thought this was a good way of having Damian Priest get a win because obviously the Terror Twins have sort of been coming. They've been on the on the losing side of things, where they've been the ones getting beat up, they're the ones getting outnumbered. But this time, even with all of the odds stacked against them, at least he still managed to get that win. And then Rhea did get an opportunity to get her hands on Dominic Mysterio for quite a bit. So this was fine. Honestly, like, this wasn't a match that I was too like looking forward to, but I thought it worked out very nicely just with everybody involved and just everybody trying to get their hands on everybody else. So this, and this ended up working out very well. I was sports entertained.
Yeah, as was I. Guys, we're about to talk about AEW TV news, and no matter where they land, no matter where pay-per-views are, no matter what channel, what territory you're in, you want NordVPN.com/Fightful. An exclusive deal right now, you get a mega discount and 4 free months with a 30-day money-back guarantee with NordVPN.com/Fightful. You might say, why the heck do I need that? Well, football season, it's awfully nice because you don't have to pay for Sunday ticket. You can just change your virtual location and watch the local games wherever they are. On pay-per-views, you can go pay the prices they're paying overseas, no matter what it is. UFC, bare-knuckle boxing, AEW, TNA, all that good stuff. Plus, you can listen to your favorites abroad, shield your data from snoops and criminals, encrypt your data, and it works on all your devices. No matter what it is, you can even put it on your router and it'll work on your whole house. Your smart TV, all that good stuff. And it works on all operating systems. If that's not enough, they got a password manager, file encryption tool, and they got 24/7 support. So in case you think you might not know how to use it, they'll help you use it. They got reliable encryptions. They're safe from disruptions with their kill switch feature. And it's the fastest VPN on the planet. It's the same VPN that's put over by Yahoo, TED, Forbes, BuzzFeed, Wired, Huffington Post, CNET, and of course, Fightful. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats about this TV deal, because, oh man, we got some stuff to talk about. Fightful Select had reported quite a while back that looked like AEW was going to at least double their current rights deal. Now, we don't know what double is because their numbers aren't public. But Boris says AEW TV deal news. Drizzy says, are they announcing the deal soon? Do you see Punk wrestling full-time on Raw again? No, he will never wrestle full-time. I believe they will announce it soon-ish. I don't have a date. I'm not going to say imminent or anything like that. I will tell you guys, tune in to Beyond the Bell with Andrew Zarian Tuesday morning here on Fightful. He'll have some good insight. But Crazy 101 asks an important question. Will AEW pay-per-views be on Max? Will AEW be profitable? What are your thoughts on the deal? Is WWE really paying attention to everything Mercedes wants to do or does? That last one, I feel like we already answered. Don't think so. My thoughts on the deal, here is how things are unfolding as we see them, Denise. Brandon Thurston sort of Twitter aggregated John Orend at Puck saying that the new media deal with WBD looks like it will be a 4-year deal, 3 years guaranteed with a 1-year option. $170 million per year is apparently in the ballpark, which is a really good amount of money. He says AEW will air on TNT, TBS, and True TV twice per week as a part of a strategy to make True TV more sports oriented. The announcement of the deal could come as soon as next week, barring any last minute changes. He says AEW is pitching an additional package to broadcast networks. The report at one point refers to AEW as second-tier wrestling, though Orend writes that the deal marks as a clear success for AEW. A few things before I get your thoughts, Denise. The additional package being shipped to broadcast networks or shopped, that is Fox. That is one of the people they have been talking to. I do not believe that as of now, pay-per-view is involved in this. So if their pay-per-view is not included in that amount, oh boy, is that a really, really, really good amount. Because they could still negotiate that. And Max has been trying to get AEW to do their pay-per-views on that platform since last year. That offer was already on the table. Tony wanted to package it together. I have not heard of a landing spot for Rampage yet. I've heard that Dynamite and Collision will continue on WBD. Don't know about Rampage. We'll see about that. I know AEW wants their exclusivity back. They were not able to run Dark as a result of the collision package. Will they be profitable? Yes, this would make them profitable. Denise, there's a lot to take in here, but how are you feeling hearing this news?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm very excited for AEW. They've worked really hard to get to this point. They've been putting on such great content. The pay-per-views are phenomenal. I mean, God, the pay-per-views are awesome. Dynamite has really become a must-see show, even when there's some rough weeks, right? But even the rough weeks are pretty, like, above par. Like, there's never like a terrible show for Dynamite where you're thinking, oh God, I'm never watching this show again. No, man, it doesn't happen. They put on good shows. They got some great talent on the show. And on top of that, they've been, you know, spending a lot of money on these really big contracts, Okada, Will Ospreay, Swerve, yeah, all of these people. And I think at some point you want to see that really, really pay off. And what a way then to, you know, get this TV deal. And you mentioned all of the places that you mentioned, TBS, TNT, True TV. I think it's great to be in so many different places because then it just gives you an opportunity to get more eyeballs. And you mentioned also where the pay-per-views might live. We still don't know that, but when we find out, I feel like then I do hope it's Max. I think that would be great. Cool.
Me too.
I have the app, so fine. Fine with me. But I really do think that whenever they do find a home for their streaming stuff, and I'm not just talking like doing Triller TV and all of that. I'm talking like a legit, you know, a Netflix, or I mean, it's not going to be Netflix now, but you know, like a Hulu or a Max or one of those apps that appeal to non-wrestling fans, because hey, you never know who the hell might decide to click on that. And so it really is exciting right now for AEW, and I'm curious to see what their year looks like for 2025.
So the pipe dream for a lot of people was 1 billion over 5 years. Like, that was the you know, the way that a lot of people were like, oh my God, that would mark like a massive success, the one bill fill thing. If they, I mean, now this wouldn't be over 5 years, it'd be over 4 years with the option. But if you prorate that over 5 years, 170 million over 5 years is 850. And that's with them shopping stuff to a different network as well. And that's with them selling their own pay-per-views.
Right. And I think one of the things that
very close to that number. Yeah.
Right. Because one of the things that you see WWE do is that they're in so many different places, right? Like, they're getting money here from this place for that. They're getting money here for this show, for that show, for this premium live event. Oh, it airs here on that one and over here in this territory over there. And so you're seeing all of these different areas of revenue where they're going and getting money from different places. And I feel like that's something that AEW, I think, would benefit a whole lot from getting when it comes to that. We're just having their stuff in numerous places, as well as also different eyeballs in wherever it is that people, you know, consume content differently.
Yeah. I mean, this is so 200 million a year is like the all encompassing deal that a lot of people looked at as like, oh my God, that would be major. I mean, there's still going to be people that act like this isn't a success. It's going to be very, very unusual.
But then ask the same people, what would you do if you got $200 million a year for your show? Are you kidding me? I would die of happiness.
If I were them, I mean, listen, I don't necessarily need more wrestling content, but you're going to be on the WBD networks. You want to try to get on Fox in some capacity. I saw people, when I brought this up, say, oh, well, why do you want them on Tubi so much? Tubi is a perfect example of a true cord cutter platform. It is not a subscription-based service. You don't even need a login for Tubi. Like, people who just cut all their stuff off, they can watch Tubi or Samsung TV or Roku TV or something like that. It's a complete non-paid service. Also, getting on Max would be big because you want to be on the same platform as Peacemaker and Euphoria and a lot of those cool shows, especially for a younger audience that might be like, oh, wait, they got wrestling over here? What is this? Oh, this isn't what I'm used to. Let me check this out. You absolutely want that. I guess we'll see how it all unfolds, but we're going to follow up on it. Obviously, we've done just an incredible amount of reporting on this whole situation over the last, gosh, number of months and weeks and all that stuff. And yeah, just a lot going on here, guys. Denise, tell the people where they can find you.
There's a lot to be excited about. That's for sure. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens. For me, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. A lot of my videos, my interviews from Bash in Berlin are doing very well. So check those out. My favorite was my interview with Rhea and Damien. It's probably one of my favorite interviews that I've done. So if you guys want to check it out, you can. youtube.com/Denise Salcedo.
Guys, over 12,000 of you watch this show live across all of our platforms. I want to say thank you, guys. Our audience on X and Twitter especially has just been blowing up lately. So thank you guys for that. FightfulSelect.com. Please support original creators and all that stuff. It's just $5 a month. That goes a very, very long way. And also, join in on the comments section. I am there the day after chatting with all you guys. Until next time, we're out.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.